everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, and every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad you've joined us.
Happy weekend, Dr. Linda. This may not necessarily be your and Dr. Norm's anniversary, but happy anniversary.
Well, thank you for that whenever it happens.
Well, the reason I say that is you guys have been married a long, long time.
Really long time. I want to keep emphasizing that long, long time.
Right, but the thing is, you won't even tell me how long it's been because you don't want me to guess your age, so that's fair. But it's always good to see couples go the long haul like you and Dr. Norm, and we want to do everything we can to strengthen marriages and relationships on this program, and that's the goal of today's show.
Well, we're a relationship show, so we're always trying to strengthen people in their relationships, right? So you and I are both married.
Not to each other.
Right. We have to clarify that. And so we love doing shows on helping couples stay married. I saw an interesting article, Chris, on Bustle. Now, I don't know if that's the best site in the world or anything, but there was an article by Christine Felizar and Andrew Zak on habits that lead to divorce. And they were doing it from the science. So they were looking at studies and they were talking about what people who study relationships have found. But what really, really was interesting about this is that they're habits that aren't the big stuff. There are smaller things that people do that really tend to build up in people's lives. And certainly we're going to look at this from a biblical perspective as we follow the studies and the science, but maybe we can help prevent a few divorces.
So let me get this correct. We're talking about little habits that lead to divorce, not the big things like, you know, cheating on each other, that type of thing.
That's right. So now if we think about it, every couple develops habits in their relationship. So I squeeze the toothpaste in the middle. And Norm does the responsible thing and squeezes it at the end.
How dare you not do that properly?
Now, this has not led to a divorce, obviously. In our case, we're probably okay with this particular habit. But I'm guessing that maybe Sharon has some things that she reminds you about.
When someone comes by the house to sell something, I can't say no.
Oh, really? I had that problem years ago.
I'll buy whatever they come.
I do the same thing.
And it drives her crazy.
Does it?
Yeah. So that's a bad habit on my part, not being able to say no.
But it hasn't led you to divorce, right?
No, I think we're good.
So we're going to look at the things that they've studied, scientists have studied, and they actually said, if you continue to do these, it could contribute to bad feelings and divorce. Now, we're not saying that if you're guilty of any of these things that we talk about, that divorce is around the corner. Please don't read it that way. Certainly, our faith was not a part of these studies, and that should give us grace and push us to change things that bother our partner, right? If we're believers, we need to be working on things that our partner is telling us that they don't like, that are annoying. I think if you're not a believer, you should be working on this anyway.
Right. Just be a decent human being.
Be responsive to the person you're married to. But these are things that scientists have noticed that when they look at people who end up divorced, these are patterns that they've noticed. And so we should pay attention to them in order to avoid our relationships not going in a negative direction.
Well, it's better to know than to not know. And we can think about these studies and then decide if they are true for us.
I like that. So we'll approach it that way. So again, a small habit can be sort of a catalyst for negativity. And sometimes it even causes you to start thinking, I don't even want to be around that person. I know someone who could not stand the fact that her husband smacked his lips when he ate.
I know how she feels.
I know, but that really isn't grounds for divorce.
Yeah, true.
So she really needed to work that through with her husband. I sure hope that it wasn't causing a lot of relationship problems. But if you don't work it through and you don't bring those things up, it can just build up the negativity with that person. And so we want to be able to talk to each other to form good connections so that we can have healthy conversations about these crazy little things that could become big.
Well, I know this connection thing is very important because we've talked about this on past shows.
And we've talked about it in terms of turning towards your partner when you have conflict or you get upset about little things that they do. What you don't want is to get into the habit of turning to someone else. So instead of going to your partner and saying, hey, the smacking of the lips is getting to me,
right.
You know, and I wouldn't say it quite that negative. I would say, hey, there's probably a little habit you might not be aware of. I'm noticing it. And for some reason, it really bothers me. Do you think you could be more aware and maybe work on that? Now, that would be a good thing to do. But if you tend to complain to other people about your partner and you don't talk to that person, then you're starting to create what we call a triangle. There's a problem between the two of you and you're bringing in a third party.
It's starting to get complicated here.
It's getting psychological.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have a good example of this?
I do. So let's say that Norm leaves his dirty socks on the floor of the bedroom. Now, he doesn't do that, Chris. Mm-hmm. He's really good in that respect.
Right.
But let's say that I just sit and fume about that. I'm getting madder and madder, but I never talk to him about it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I decide to tell my coworker about it, and I get the listening ear of my coworker. And my coworker might even tell me, you don't deserve to be treated like that. And the worker is kind of reinforcing that negativity that I'm feeling toward my husband. Now I have a third party involved in a bad habit with my husband, and that just doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't go well. I don't solve the issue, and I start to be feeling a little more positive about my coworker and negative about my husband because my coworker is now being empathetic and he understands the issue, yet I haven't even talked to my husband. I'm annoyed, but I'm not addressing it with the person involved.
And that creates the distance that you're talking about, and the negativity tends to simmer below the surface.
Right. All right, so let's look at the first bad habit that science says seems to lead to divorce. And this one's going to surprise you, I think.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's being overly affectionate during the newlywed phase of marriage.
What? Sounds like a good problem to have to me.
Yeah. All right, so now remember, we're looking for patterns in couples who divorce. So this came out of a study published from the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Here's what they're saying. Couples who were overly affectionate in the first few years of marriage were more likely to divorce at 7 years. According to the researchers, the passion that you feel in the beginning of a relationship, if it's just, you know, intense and chemistry driven and over the edge, it's not going to be real sustainable. So once the honeymoon phase is over in the relationship and reality sets in, some people sit and think, we're not really that compatible. When we really look beyond the passion. And because of that, some couples tend to find that they're having a decrease in affection, and then they look at that and go, wow, something's wrong, and they begin to get very ambivalent about the relationship.
Is this across the board? Does this apply to all couples?
No, thank goodness.
Good.
Right.
Let's move on to the second bad habit that may lead to divorce, and this is one we've talked about on other programs, and you wrote a book on this one. We Need to Talk is the name of the book. And the bad habit is avoiding confrontation.
So there's no surprise there.
No.
But a 2018 study published by the American Psychological Association found that the habit of withdrawing or shutting down when you're confronted by your partner really negatively affects your relationship. So the danger here is that when you shut down or avoid, your partner feels like their needs are getting ignored. And it is part of that disconnection we're talking about. And it's worse, Chris, with couples who have access to resources to work out their problems. So maybe they have somebody that can help them or talk or, you know, there's a way to deal with things, but they just simply choose to avoid them. And avoidance causes tension in a relationship.
It feels good at the minute because you feel like you're getting back. You're like, aha, I won't talk to them about this. But in the long term, it doesn't work.
And so many couples are frustrated by the avoidance of conflict because it just doesn't allow you to address things and move forward in the relationship.
So if you're being ghosted, like they say today, or avoided, what do you suggest?
So in the book, We Need to Talk, I outline what a conflict avoider needs to do. And it really involves pushing yourself to bring up an issue, even though it's really hard for you to do that. It's uncomfortable to do that. Some people avoid because they had parents who did the same, or their parents were out of control when conflict came up, so dealing with conflict doesn't feel safe. But you can't build a healthy relationship if you constantly avoid problems.
Well, we don't want to avoid this upcoming break, Dr. Linda, so let's take it right now, and more to come on habits that lead to divorce on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
The other day, I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out!" But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, "Be angry, but do not sin." So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website at drlindamental.com and online.
Social media can be a real source of jealousy in our culture. It's so easy to be envious of a friend's fitness progress, a family member's new car, or a colleague's promotion. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I know I'm not the only one who plays the comparison game on social media. But if our self-worth is measured in the number of hearts our Instagram gets, we're missing the point, big time. Instead of obsessing over the number of thumbs up you get, ask yourself, are my actions worthy of a thumbs up from God? I promise you, He doesn't care what your outfit of the day is, or if you're drinking your first Starbucks red cup of the season. God already gave you a double tap when He knit you in your mother's womb. And the only filter we need is Christ Himself, who erases our imperfections and makes us holy. Having lots of followers is great, but remember, God asked us to follow Him first. And you can tweet that.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today's topic is Habits That Lead to Divorce, According to Science. We've got so much more to talk about, but before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. There you'll find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media. And remember, an easy way to know what Dr. Linda is writing about each day is to follow her on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental. And of course, you can listen to the podcast on iTunes anywhere.
Anytime.
That's right. Well, Dr. Linda, let's jump back into our third habit that seems to predict divorce.
You know, I don't think anyone will be surprised by this one. It's about letting debt pile up. Yeah. You know, I know money problems are big deals in couple relationships, especially when the couple isn't on the same page about money. Now, this is interesting and something I'd never heard of, Chris. According to the research by the Federal Reserve Board, couples who have a greater difference in their credit scores are more likely to separate within 5 years.
Now, that's a new one.
Have you ever heard about that?
No.
I don't think that's ever a questionnaire I've ever asked a person when they're doing premarital counseling. What's your credit score?
Right,
I mean, maybe we need to start doing that. But when they looked at individuals in committed relationships, they have credit scores that are highly correlated with their partner scores. Hmm. So if you have the same credit score, you're going to do better.
So that's according to the Federal Reserve. If your credit scores are closer to each other, you do better as a couple.
I mean, I just would never have thought about this. Well, what the research says that is that the credit scores reveals an individual's relationship skill and level of commitment. I mean, wow, this is pretty big stuff.
Right.
What they're saying is it has to do with trustworthiness and commitment to non-debt. So if you can trust your partner to kind of work with finances the same way you do, there's a trust factor that's the foundation of healthy relationships. I think that's how it's connected.
So when we are starting to
dating,
date.
Yeah. When you're dating.
Say, hi.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Is your credit score above 750?
Yeah. Let's just share credit scores as we start out our dating life. I'm a 720. What are you?
Right, yeah.
I don't know if that would go over very well, do you?
It would definitely be a new one on lots of people. So you mentioned a second ago, it's an indicator of trust.
Yeah, I think that's all what this is about. But it is interesting to maybe ask that question once you start getting into the relationship. Maybe it tells you something about that person.
Right.
And there was another survey that was conducted by Student Loan Hero, and it found that 1 in 8 couples, that's a pretty big number, 1 in 8, blame their student loans for ruining their relationship.
Well, there is a lot of talk about what to do with the student loan problem these days. It's up to about $1.5 trillion.
I think that's a record. So I can see for couples starting out how difficult that is. They start off with the burden of debt right from the beginning, and it's going to affect their lifestyle and their ability to buy a new home or to have children. But I have to tell you, Chris, we didn't get to buy a whole lot of stuff when we first started out.
Right.
I understand that the debt is burdensome, more so than it has been in years past. And finances are a stress in any relationship. So I guess the bottom line with this one is that you got to get on the same page with this, and you really do need to work on paying down your debt. And that's a strategy that people have been talking about for years.
Right.
Pay down the debt.
Let's move on to the fourth habit, and this is arguing over household chores.
Are we talking about the kids or the grown-ups?
Yeah, the grown-ups.
Yeah. The grown-ups. Okay. So a 2018 study from the Harvard Business School, I feel like I should say Harvard.
Harvard
right. Business mm-hmm. School, found that 25% of couples listed disagreements about housework as their reason for getting a divorce. Now, does that surprise you?
Yes, because you have to grow up and be an adult.
And you have to do things.
Yes.
But it's the
right.
disagreements. They're saying it's the disagreements. And
I don't want to wash the dishes. You wash the dishes. Are you kidding me?
I have a hard time with this one because
right.
Norm and I don't have this issue. I don't think we've ever had this issue. We just, what has to get done, we divide it up, we get
right.
it done. We don't go, you should be washing dishes. No, you should be. We don't do that. But in the study, they also found that couples who had the luxury of outsourcing their household tasks were happier.
Hmm.
Well, of course,
yeah.
if you can hire someone to do it, who wouldn't be happier?
Thing is, I would feel so useless sitting on my porch watching some kid mow the grass. I still have to mow the grass.
I would have no trouble hiring things out. But you have to be able to afford that.
Right. I do get it because, you know, when you're tired from a long day of work, the last thing you want to do is mow the grass or the dishes.
Well, 100%. And I just wanted to say 100% because mm-hmm. I've been listening to talk radio and everybody always goes, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
It's a thing. Have you heard that? I don't say it, so I just thought I'd throw that in there so I could be cool on talk radio.
100%.
100%. Well, if your partner isn't doing their fair share of the chores, it is going to cause arguments. So if this is happening all the time, it's a part of your relationship problem, it is going to lead to dissatisfaction. Mm. I blogged on this years ago. I think the name of my article was Men Who Do Housework Are Happier or something like that. But really, the underlying issue here is that your partner wants to feel supported by you. And
yes.
if you're both not doing your part of the chores and the tedious work around the house, then you don't feel supported.
Just get the kids to do it.
Is that why you have children?
Right. That's why we have three kids.
That's right.
All right. Well, the next habit is relatively new. It's one that I cannot believe even made the list. The bad habit is, are you ready for this?
Okay.
Playing the video game Fortnite.
Did you see there was a 16-year-old that won the first ever Fortnite World Cup? He won $3 million for playing that game.
Mm,
so
wow.
I think if you marry him one day when he's old enough, you'll be okay. Don't you think?
No, he will have spent the money by then or something.
But here's the thing. If you marry him, you might have a little problem with feeling neglected because
right.
I heard that he played like 8 to 10 hours a day in order to, you know, get ready for the big World Cup. And that doesn't leave a lot of room for a relationship.
No, it doesn't. That's basically his job is to play Fortnite, you know.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm going to work. I've got to get ready for the next Fortnite World Cup. This is terrible. But seriously, it sounds like it could be a problem.
We said we'd do this by the science, right? So
right.
here's the UK-based study from Divorce Online. In a 2018 study, 200 divorce petitions, they looked at these, Chris, and they cited the video game Fortnite Battle Royale as the reason for wanting a divorce.
Do you think it has anything to do because this could be an addiction? And, you know, addiction and divorce go hand in hand.
Yeah, we're having fun with it. But I suppose if somebody is just constantly playing that game and does get addictive, and internet gaming is one of those things that we're looking at with the diagnostic and statistical manual to decide if that really qualifies as an addiction. But there was a Pew Research report that found that 1 in 5 people says that technology use has negatively affected their relationship. So in addition to playing video games, 1/4 of the people say that their partners get distracted by their smartphones when they're supposed to be having couple time. And I think we can see that, right?
Mm, yeah.
Norm texted me a picture the other day. I have to tell you this. He was in Chicago and he was sitting at a restaurant. And he texted me a picture of a family and every single one of them was at the restaurant on their devices,
wow.
not talking to each other.
We need to make a bumper sticker that says, get off your phone, save your marriage.
There you go.
Well, on that note, I'm not looking at my phone, but I do know that we need to take a break. And stay tuned as we reveal the last 2 small habits that lead to divorce.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books that you can find on her website or online, and one of those books that we've mentioned today is We Need to Talk, a book that will help you not avoid conflict and, according to science, help you stay married.
That's right, and I like the way people from New York always say that title. We need to talk.
We need to talk.
I like it better. All right, so we're winding down to the last two habits of our show today, and the next one will make a whole lot of sense.
Yes, it does. It's the bad habit of venting about your relationship. You know what, Dr. Linda? I just can't stand it when Sharon does blah, blah, blah.
Right. And so here's a study that will back that up, what you are saying. It's a study from the Journal of Family Psychology by John Gottman. We've talked about him quite often on the show, and he has a lot to contribute to the area of relationships. And this study found that what you say about your relationship can actually predict whether or not you're going to get divorced.
This one sounds like it relates to what the Bible says about the power of our tongue and our words.
Well, here's how the research assessed that, and that is actually right, what you're saying, but they didn't look at it from a biblical perspective. Mm. Participants in the study were asked to give an oral history on their relationship to researchers. And just by listening to how they talked about the history of their relationship, they could tell if it was very negative or if they were disappointed, it would lead to a divorce or a need to separate. So isn't that interesting? Those who spoke about their relationship in negative ways or indicated any signs of disappointment were more likely to separate. So the idea of this study is that the way you think and talk about your relationship predicts divorce. If you describe your relationship in very, very negative ways, what it does, Chris, is it reinforces all those negative feelings that you have.
See, I don't think this is anything new. Our words have the power to shape how we feel. We don't always think about the careless words we say, but they do have an impact.
So I think the practical point of that study is that you, when you're talking about your partner, you need to talk about the person in a very positive way. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about how you met, what you've done, sort of the course of your relationship, you need to focus on those things that are really positive because it's going to have an effect on the way you think about that. So if you're complaining and you're remembering all the problems, you're going to start feeling negative about that relationship. So I think that's a really good practical takeaway point.
See, according to Scripture, our words have the power of life and death. So what we're saying is words can bring life or death to a relationship as well. I don't think we think about that very often.
Yeah, I mean, we just talk, right? People ask us about our spouse or, you know, how's your marriage or how are things going? I think we just say things that a lot of times are very careless. And we don't connect the dots on the way I'm talking about it is probably making me feel either more positive or more negative.
That's
the point of that study.
Hmm. Okay, so what is the last habit as we are getting close to the end of the show?
The last habit has to do with being jealous about your partner's success. All right, now stay with me on this one. So this is a 2018 study by Swedish researchers that found that women who earned less than their husbands when they first got married were 2 times more likely to get divorced once they started seeing more success in their own work. In other words, women who begin their marriage either earning less than their husbands or maybe not even working at all outside the home are significantly more likely to get divorced if their career suddenly takes off.
Does this have to do with the wife feeling independent or the husband being jealous and running her off?
I think it's a little bit of both as we start to mm-hmm. look at this, because women who made their way up to leadership roles were less likely to stay married to their husbands than women who went for a higher position and didn't get it. And this wasn't the case for men. This only affected women.
So if a woman moves up the ladder, they're more likely to divorce, but less likely if they didn't get the higher position. So it does sound like jealousy or maybe even intimidation.
Yeah. You know, when you look at this data, you start to think, what does this mean? You know, how can we kind of practically apply this to people's lives? And they were saying in the study that they believe this happens because women are more likely to leave the relationship because they have more flexibility now in their own economic strength. You know, they didn't feel supported by their husbands, and they felt like they were able to, because of their own economic status now, do something on their own. I don't think that's a very exciting finding.
Nope.
I think it's kind of sad that we get this. So in some ways, what they're saying is the more professional success a woman has, the more likely they are to divorce. But there is a caveat in that. Couples in which both partners' careers were of equal importance from the beginning of the marriage did not experience the odds of getting divorced.
Hmm. That was the case with you and Dr. Norm.
Yeah, it was. We both started out as working professionals, so it wasn't such an issue like the study said, because we were both professionals, we were both going into it. But the risk, according to the science, is when a woman starts out earning less or not working outside the home and then surges in that career. So that brings a type of change to a relationship, and they are saying that jealousy is a part of that, and it can really rock the relationship.
Who became a doctor first, you or Dr. Norman?
I did.
Oh, wow.
Actually, yeah.
So you survived.
And he wasn't jealous about it. You
right.
know, it really wasn't something that we made a big deal about. He eventually mm-hmm. then went on to do the same thing.
Well, jealousy is never good, and it's one of the things the Bible tells us to put off and get rid of.
So as we close the show, we want to keep in mind some of these things like fighting over chores or video games that don't directly cause divorce. We're not saying that. They can, however, contribute to a distance in a relationship, maybe irritation at the other person that begins to grow. And when there's distance and there's negativity in your relationship, you're going to have to work together to overcome it if you want your relationship to last. But we also know that faith is a factor that should keep us humble, willing to listen to the other person, and think of them more highly than ourselves. Grace is needed in all relationships to help prevent divorce. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mental, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mental Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.